Today is the 201st day in the year 2021. There remains 164 days. So what does that mean to you, and what should that mean to you, especially if you never took the time or the thought to make your dreams come true, those dreams that you placed on your New Year's resolutions, or maybe in the month of January you thought, well, I'm going to buy a bazooka, or...
A bazooka?
Go up in space. You saw that guy up in space?
I thought that was interesting.
That was interesting. So, it's not too late for you to get your ticket to outer space, right?
What is it, $5 million? Is that all?
Woo!
Yeah.
That's a lot, isn't it? Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a discount.
Well, welcome to A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and we are here live on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download an app, and it's free. Go into your Play Store. The app is called TuneIn. Download it on any electronic device. And when you download it, please search WWGH, and you will see us in the little tiny black and white letters type. It took me a minute to find it, but it's there, okay?
Okay.
If you want to call in, make a remark, or ask questions while we're live on the air from now until the top of the hour, please call 740-383-9944. We have a giveaway today. Two tickets free to Columbus Zoo. All you have to do is answer a trivia question. Call in between 4:30 and the top of the hour, 5 o'clock. In between that space of time, call in. I'm going to give you that trivia question in just a moment, okay? So, and if you have the right answer, you win the two tickets to Columbus Zoo. Okay, I have a thought for today, and it's called Resolve Conflict. It seems like everybody's in conflict, right? Everywhere you twist and turn. There has probably never been a time where there has been so much fear and conflict across the world, not just across oceans and borders, but across the breakfast table. In fact, many now prefer conflict to peace as they become addicted to the actions of anger and aggression and the adrenaline rush which results. They don't really want conflict to end. In fact, they will say that some conflict is good to get things done and stimulate change. They are not aware that they are killing themselves. Wow. All conflict is simply a symptom of attachment to a position. As we know, this generates fear, and fear, if allowed to stay, eventually kills its host. All solutions are based on detachment or letting go, but that will be difficult until we can see that all possession is an illusion, that we can have nothing to lose, and that there are no victories in winning. We talked about illusions yesterday. My guest and I, about things that, you know, you may have in your mind and how it should be and is not. You know, just make it up. Well, you make up your own stories, you know. You make up your own facts, you know. But that's not, that's a form of deception. Deceiving yourselves and being deceived. So, we don't want to continue there. And don't forget the giveaway. Let me give you the question. Who
interpreted the handwriting on the wall?
There you go. Who interpreted the handwriting on the wall? It's all in the Bible. So if you come up with that answer, please call.
Well, maybe we shouldn't use that because I'm going to talk about that today. Maybe they'll catch on if I'm talking about it.
Right.
They'll call in.
Give them a chance, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and that number again is 740-383-9944. Who interpreted the handwriting on the wall? Okay. I'm going to turn my attention to my guest, Jeff Porter.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm just wonderful. Beautiful day out there.
It is a beautiful day. The weather's perfect, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not too hot, not too cold. Just enough to have your air on low.
Yeah.
Right? All righty. So, Jeff, he is the author of Expressions of the Last Days. What do you have on your mind today, Jeff?
Well, I ended on a note, I think, last time I talked was I was comparing Hitler again to the Antichrist. And in Daniel 7, it talks about little horn with eyes. And you say to yourself, no, the little horn is the Antichrist. You say, how could the Antichrist be a little horn?
Right, you did talk about that. Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the only thing that could mean is that he starts off small.
Right.
He's not very powerful at first, you know. He's like a puff of smoke or something. But his abilities at speeches and oratory and the power he comes forth with, his worldly wisdom and everything, he starts rising in power. Now, this is very interesting because Hitler, he left his home in Germany and went to Vienna because he wanted to be a painter, wanted to be an artist. And he flunked out there and eventually ended up homeless. This is before he became the Chancellor of Germany. Mm-hmm. So here he was roaming around in the streets homeless, doing odd jobs to keep from starving to death. Mm. So he started off as a little horn too, see?
Right, right.
So people have interpreted, you know, all you got to do is look at Daniel, and I didn't understand that for a long time. What does that mean, a little horn? How could the Antichrist be a little horn? Well, not too many years ago, it finally occurred to me that he is not going to be a person that's prominent on the scene right away. He'll be a person that's maybe a painter, maybe he's apartment complex maintenance man or something like that. He's not necessarily from America. He might be from somewhere in Asia or anywhere.
Right.
He could be from anywhere.
Right.
So people have gone along and say, oh, he's got to be the Pope or somebody that's already in power.
President, right.
That's not where you look. The only way you can ever know who the Antichrist is to watch him from the beginning of his power, when America's already, my theory is that America will have been collapsed. And that's why the 10 nations in Daniel's vision and in Revelation 13, the new Antichrist system is to rise up, because the world is in economic collapse. Mm-hmm. And they're able to say, get up on their podiums and say, we are going to bring us back to order. We're right. going to bring us back to prosperity. But it's all a big deception. It's a judgment of God on the world for rejecting Christ.
Right.
You know. Okay, so.
And I hear a lot of, I guess you would call them naysayers. Not absolutely naysayers, but people who prophesy and into world prophecy and prophecy of USA, and all of them really have the attitude similar to yours that United States is going to go down.
Yeah, because there's no mention of the United States in the Bible, as far as we can tell, in the book of Revelation. So something happened to it, because it's a big, powerful nation right now.
Right.
And it's a democratic nation, and it still resembles a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. Now, with the apostasy going on, whereas Christianity is falling away and dying, you know, America, well, it would still present a challenge to the Antichrist. It would be very hard for him to rise to power. He'd still get criticized big time from here in America, and they probably might be able to stop him. But not once America has collapsed. America's, you know, responsible for 2/3 of the world's commerce. Mm-hmm. And so if America collapses, the world would be in serious trouble. It would be a worldwide economic collapse is what it would be, worldwide depression. The world looks to America for a lot of things. And
yes, they do.
The economy is the biggest one.
That's why it's kind of hard to believe that, you know, we're going to go down the way they say we're going to go down. But a lot of people say that's because of what our moral standards.
That's right. That's the bottom line. I mean, look here. You got not too long ago, there was this big controversy because in some of the big cities, the transgender people and homosexual people were pushing to get these drag queens and stuff inside a library to talk to children. And how do you think God views that? That America started to accept all this perversion as normal?
Yeah, I'd say that it seems to be more on the normal side, or headed that way, really normal.
They think it's normal.
Well, a lot of things are out of place.
Yeah.
As far as the word is concerned, and should not be considered normal.
Well, they don't, you know, are we going to consider Sodom and Gomorrah? Or are you going to consider whole nations that have fallen, and they always fall into homosexuality and perversion? And, you know, I quit watching The Voice.
So,
because they accept people that started off as drag queens in bars and stuff.
Let me ask you this. If you had a friend that was a homosexual or he preferred same sex as far as having a mate, would you still be friends with that person?
Not close friends. As a matter of fact, something like that happened when I was driving to bus. There was this guy that was, he was totally gay. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him a lot. What I did talk about was the Lord.
Right.
And I prayed for him. I'll never forget. It was kind of humorous. I really got down and prayed for him one time. And this guy came to his door who was a former Satanist and formerly gay. Mm. And he stood there at the door and witnessed to this guy.
Right.
You know. But I decided that I didn't want any close association with people who are gay and drag queens and stuff like that, but I will be an acquaintance to them as far as trying to get the gospel across to them. I don't make fun of them. I don't mock them.
Right.
Or anything like that. I just tell them the truth. I had people, I was funny. I would talk all this stuff on the bus. I never once got called into an office or anything about it, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
I was there for 25 years. And never once did anybody call me in. Of course, most of City Hall are Christian people.
Right.
You know, the mayors and safety director and all that were Christians. They at least claimed to be Christians. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so they never bothered me about any of that. But that's a very good question because that episode with this guy went on for a long time. I gave him a car. And one time, because he didn't have no transportation, he was very thankful for that, you know.
I'm sure he was.
But that was an old beat-up Ford, you know.
But still, it was a car.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it was a gas hog, too. But I used to buy big cars. I used to really love big vehicles, and I just can't afford to put fuel in them anymore.
I know. You know. I understand that, too. Yeah.
So there was another forerunner to the Antichrist. There's been plenty of Antichrists over the centuries, but this guy stands out as one of the biggest ones. Now, I was going to a church, I don't know if I should mention what denomination it was, but this pastor got up and proclaimed that the book of Revelation had already taken place in the past. I've heard this before, and I think it's just crazy. I think we have a call.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick up tickets, and I was wondering where you guys are located.
We're located at 523 South Prospect Street. You already won some?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
First in BZ Bay.
Excuse me?
First in BZ Bay.
Okay. Is that Columbus Zoo?
Yes.
Okay. We're here.
Okay.
523... South Prospect Street. It's before you go, don't go around the fork. There's like a fork in the road. If you go into the fork, you've gone too far. We're on the right-hand side of South Prospect Street. You should see my red Chevy truck in the driveway.
And a yellow Chevy Spark is bright yellow.
Okay.
523 South Prospect. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Yep, bye.
Uh-huh, bye.
Well, we know we're trivia. Oh, the other one?
Yeah, my trivia question. We still have Zimbabwe Way tickets, Columbus Zoo. If you answer the trivia question, see, people are picking up their tickets because they're answering trivia questions. And this one, we'll give it to you again. Who interpreted the handwriting on the wall? Okay.
I'm actually going to give you the answer to that here pretty soon.
Oh, that's a big giveaway there.
Yeah, whoever can call in first.
Right. That telephone number is 740-383-9944. Again, 740-383-9944. Call in if you have the answer.
Okay. In order to talk about Antiochus, I have to go all the way back to the great carrying away of Babylon, to Babylon. Isaiah predicted that because of its major sins and going off to other gods and sacrificing babies to other gods and stuff like that, Isaiah said God's going to bring a severe judgment on him. And it was 500 years after Isaiah that God brought this judgment. I'd say they had plenty of time to repent, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Okay, so all of a sudden, one time, this empire called Babylon just rose up like a meteor streaking through the sky. Just suddenly, there it was. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. And he decided he was going to conquer, he conquered the whole world. He hadn't conquered Israel yet.
Right.
So he controlled most of the world, which consisted of Persia, and there's just Asia was the whole world back then, you know. And so he decided to attack and destroy the walls around Jerusalem, and, you know, he went in and he attacked Israel and he overcame them. And he went in and destroyed the temple, the Solomon's temple, and tore it apart and took all the stuff out of it. Everything, all the gold, all the vessels and everything, and took them with him. And a great many of the Jews he took with him to Babylon because they were the cream of the crop. They were scholars and athletes and scientists and all this stuff he took with him to Babylon to use for his own purposes.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Babylon was the great ruler of the world back then. And they had, you know, something like 10-foot-thick walls.
Nebuchadnezzar, yeah, absolutely.
And, around the city Babylon, you know, and 50-foot high and all that stuff, and he was just invincible. And eventually, though, pride overtook him, and the Lord allowed him to be like an animal for a while.
Yes, he did, because he wouldn't give God credit.
He wouldn't give God any credit. And so, to make a long story short, eventually, Nebuchadnezzar passed away, and Belshazzar eventually took over. And there's a lot in between there, but I don't want to go into all that detail. Okay, Belshazzar, and he was a partier. He just loved to go out in the open patio areas that they had all fixed up and everything and drink, and had all these women around him and, you know, song and people, you know, humming for him or whatever they were doing. And so he's sitting there drinking, and he brought in the vessels from, this was what really irritates me, is he brings in all the golden vessels that he got from the temple, that his dad got from the temple. And he's sitting there drinking that, and then all of a sudden, he looks up and he sees this hand writing something on the wall. Nobody can even interpret the language. They didn't know the language.
Right.
And he said, who can interpret this for me? Who can interpret this for me?
Not only that, a hand all by itself writing on the wall, my.
Oh, yeah. Great fear fell upon the people. Said his knees were knocking.
I bet.
You know, good. Well, eventually his mother came in and said, there's this guy that used to interpret for your father, Nebuchadnezzar. His name is Daniel. And he can interpret that handwriting on the wall. So they come and get Daniel. By now, he's an old man. And Belshazzar says, can you interpret this handwriting up there that this finger is writing? And he said, it says, mine, mine, tekel, upharzin. Nobody knows what that means. It means, your kingdom has been weighed in the balance and found wanting, falling short.
Right.
It will be conquered, therefore, and handed over to the Medes and the Persians. So eventually, Alexander the Great came along and conquered Babylon because Belshazzar wasn't too swift. You know, he had all this power, he didn't know what to do with it, so he was eventually...
Just partying it away.
Yeah, he just, you know, sitting around in the... You want me to get it? Okay.
Yeah. I should have said, just come in when you get here.
Yeah, well. We only have one.
Someone's picking up free tickets to the Columbus Zoo.
Hello.
Hey, I thought that was you.
Hi, how are you?
Come on in.
I didn't recognize your voice.
We must be broadcasting okay. Somebody's hearing it.
I'm not sure. I think it was. Is it Zimbabwe Bay?
It says Columbus Zoo, so I don't know if it goes. That's where it is, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, this was it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I don't know what the other one is. You?
Yeah. I think that's the same thing.
Okay.
They said I won the tickets. Yeah.
They had it together, so.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Thank you. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Nice meeting you.
You too.
Have fun.
Thank you.
All righty. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Handwriting on the wall.
Yeah.
Let's
go. So, mine, to kill, Upharsin, your kingdom has been weighed in the balance and found wanting. It will be conquered, therefore, and handed over to the Medes and the Persians.
Mm.
And eventually, the Persians came along. They were threatening Babylon anyways. But see, Alexander the Great, after he conquered Babylon, went into the palace and sat down and died. I just didn't know what caused it, but he had some kind of virus or something and keeled over dead. He was only in charge of Babylon for half a day or so. After he went around conquering it for quite a while. Babylon was a big area. So, after the Persians finally did come in, they didn't guard the gate. Belshazzar forgot to tell the guards to guard the gate. They came right in the gate and took over Babylon. And so, now we've got, who's in charge of Babylon now? The
right.
Persians,
right.
You know. And them and all of these people that were generals and political people and stuff started having wars in Babylon. Now, who's in charge? Who's in charge? Bam, bam, bam. They started having these gigantic wars. And out of this smelting pot of very complex wars and retreating and taking over this and losing that, Antiochus came along, and he was called Antiochus the Great or Antiochus the Third. Apparently, there were two Antiochuses before him. And he came from a thing, his country was called the Seleucids. And it was called the Seleucid Empire. It was not the most powerful empire, but he went around conquering quite a bit. But eventually, he went in and tried to conquer the Egyptians, and he got conquered.
Right.
They just ran him out. So then he got very angry and he was very ashamed, so he ran over here and conquered Israel.
Okay.
Now he took over and he was a very cruel, horrible dictator. And some of the things he did, first of all, he went into the Jewish temple and claimed to be God.
Oh, no, he didn't.
So this is a forerunner to the Antichrist.
He did not.
That is exactly what the Antichrist
really?
Is going to do. He allowed what he called sacred prostitution in the temple. He sacrificed pigs on the temple altar, which, you know, was an unclean animal according to what God told the Jews.
Right.
He killed mothers who had sacrificed or had circumcised their baby boys.
Oh,
because
no.
That God told Israel to circumcise their boys to show that Israel was separate from the other countries. And he killed everyone who had copies of the Old Testament.
Mm.
And he managed to somehow conquer the Persian Empire and took it over. And so we had, over a period of time, which Daniel was shown in all these visions that he had, visions in Daniel chapter 7 and 8, Greece, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Rome. We should include Egypt in there, but I'll just throw that in. You know, Syria and Babylon were about on the same level. But that doesn't really matter. What matters is that Antiochus was so cruel and horrible and everything that most theologians and historians say that he's definitely an example and a forerunner to the Antichrist. So that gives you some idea of how nasty the Antichrist will be.
I can't even say that I've even ever heard of him.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's not really talked about that much except by you know, you want to look.
Historians.
Yeah, exactly, historians.
Historians.
Because we know about Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar from the Bible.
Yes.
But what happens later on, you know, it is very complicated, too.
That's why Paul says there have been many antichrists.
Right.
There will be many more, but there is this one certain antichrist that is coming.
And is much worse than the rest.
Than
it is much more
rest.
Powerful.
Whoa.
So all of this, you know, these details and everything, yes, they're interesting. Yes, they give us more information about the Antichrist and what he will walk into the temple, claim to be God. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is the Antichrist,
right,
he makes things desolate to flee into the mountains. He said, when you shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, stand in the holy place, whosoever reads, let him understand, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, and woe unto them who are with child that does give suck in those days. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not from the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So I don't mean to focus on the past so much, but it does, you know, the time
that
of...
It gives us the eye.
It gives us...
Seeing what may be on its way.
Yeah.
Coming.
Yeah.
You know,
and we should be prepared by, first of all, accepting Jesus as your Savior.
Like we were saying, it's not too late.
No, yet.
It's not too late to do that. You still have time. As long as you have breath in your body, you have time to come to Christ.
That's right.
Many people have put it off to a later date, but they weren't alive to see the later date.
No.
So what was their fate?
What do you mean?
A lot of people think they're going to heaven. That's why a lot of people don't repent.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the biggest problem. You know, I talk to people and they say, well, I'm a good person.
Well, I'm saying if you die before you accept Christ, what's your fate?
I'm sorry, but you've lost your soul. You'd be end up in hell. Because Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want to add to that 1 John 1:10, if we say we have no sin, we make God out to be a liar, and the truth is not in us. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, apart from Christ, how are you going to take care of that sin? How are you going to take care of it? You can't. Now, you can go to soothsayers, and you could go to somebody that reads out of crystal balls and says, oh, you're going to marry some handsome guy or some beautiful woman or something like that. And a crystal ball person might tell you that. But if you said, yeah, but what am I going to do about my sin? They go, what do you mean? You know, what is sin? You know, a lot of people don't even know what it is anymore. Does sin exist? Yeah, a soothsayer. And it's a sin to be a soothsayer.
Yeah.
So, that's what I ask atheists, you know. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so let's turn around and take a look at the world out here, all the sins that are going on. You know, robbery and murder and drugs and alcohol and all of the terrible, selfish things that are going on. If you ever watch Forensic Files, you'd find out. You know,
sins have been going on since the beginning of time.
That's
since
right.
Adam and Eve ate of the fruit they were told not to indulge in.
Right.
So sin is not new.
No.
It hasn't changed his name.
Nope. So either your name is written in the book of life or it's not. You know.
Right.
And the only way that your name can be written in the book of life is if you accept Jesus as your Savior.
True.
If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Now that kind of makes me think about predestination. Predetermined.
That's a big controversy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, in the body of Christ.
But that scripture, though, I don't know why is it such a great controversy. You know, he says
because in some places Paul seems to indicate that we're predestined, and other places not. So that was a pretty hard one to figure out. But I don't believe that some of us are predestined for hell. I just don't believe that. Sorry, but I don't. You believe people are predestined for hell?
Well, how can you be predestined for life? To go to heaven.
Yeah, you can't, I don't think. It all hinges on whether you've accepted Christ or not.
I get that. And that is a condition to go. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But a God who knows everything, and he's not surprised by nothing.
Yes.
He's been to the beginning and to the end and back to our time now. He already knows.
I know. And, you know, this is a very difficult theological question, because God has given us free moral agency.
Yes.
In other words, we can make our own decisions here, but
right.
we have to face the consequences. You know, whether they are temporary or eternal.
Right. And he knows your heart.
Yeah.
He knows your intentions.
Yes.
He knows your thoughts are far off. Now, explain that. That means before it even get in your head.
Yeah.
So,
that's pretty scary.
Yeah, it is. Yes,
my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Yes.
God says, you
yes.
know.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad.
Even your intentions. He knows your intentions.
Yes. Can't get away with anything.
No, it's like, I didn't mean to do that. Yes, you did, because you thought about it first.
Yeah.
Before you did it.
Like people that murder, that's what they do. They lay there and they think, I got to get rid of this guy out of my life. How do I do that? Well, I'll just kill him.
And then they'll say premeditated murder.
Yeah.
Okay. Or wasn't premeditated.
Well, that's, you know, premeditated murder is first degree murder. In other words, you sat there and planned it for a
right,
couple of weeks or months or years or whatever
right,
it is
right.
and finally carried it out. That's first-degree murder. That's cold-blooded first-degree murder. Second-degree murder is you kind of accidentally, or you lose your temper, where, you know, you get in a big fight with somebody in the house or at a bar or something and pull out a gun
right.
or a knife and,
right.
you know, all right, now I got to hide the body, you know. So, you know, both of them can carry the death penalty,
right.
and both of them can carry 99 years in prison, you know, life in prison with no parole.
That's true.
So it doesn't matter if it's first or second degree murder, really.
Mm.
You're going to get the same consequences, you know.
Wow, that's kind of rough there, but...
Yeah, about the only way you could defend yourself, you know, if there's a bunch of witnesses, is to say, they saw me, I was defending myself. You know, self-defense
right.
is the,
right.
probably the best... defense you have,
right.
well, but it better be true, because they could prove it otherwise anymore.
That's
you know?
True. That's true. So I guess a sovereign God is probably saying the same thing, right?
You better make sure your name is written in the book of life.
Right.
When you pray the sinner's prayer,
yes.
you better make sure that you're sincere.
I've and live the life.
How
make
many
the
people
changes.
Have you? How many people, Linda, have you run into? That say, oh, I believe in Jesus, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'd see him coming out of a bar staggering drunk or...
They have not submitted. They have
no.
not made the changes that they need to make.
Did
to
they really
life.
Mean it when they prayed the sinner's prayer?
At
I don't know.
At that moment, yes.
You think so?
At that moment, yes. That's the only way you can be saved.
Then they later on decided their sin was more important.
They didn't make the change.
Yeah.
You know, like they say, only you can change you. In your behavior.
So they never really let him in.
I think they have. And maybe not. I don't know.
So I know this guy.
I meant it. I did surrender. If you surrendered at that moment, then you had to take it back.
Yeah, you know, like I Surrender All.
Mm-hmm.
That song. That's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm. You go right out to church and go sin.
Yeah.
Just
you
act like nothing even happened.
Leave the church and go down to your... lobby downstairs in the bottom of your house and get out the whiskey and the
and
beer.
Maybe you're right. Maybe they have not really surrendered. Maybe they're not even saved.
Yeah, because, you know, they pray the sinner's prayer with absolutely no change came over them.
So they didn't...
I mean, I've run into a lot... Have you run into a lot of people like
yeah.
that? I have.
Yes, even personal.
Yeah.
They did not submit.
I remember
so
I
you
was...
You can't be saved if you have not submitted.
That's right. You have to submit to the true spirit of Christ. That's why Jesus said, narrow is the gate, straight is the way, and few there shall be.
Right. So it's more than just saying the sinner's prayer. It's more to it than that.
That's right. I didn't even pray the sinner's prayer. I felt the Lord's presence. We're talking about Christ in McDonald's to a friend of mine. And I felt the Lord saying to my heart, you know, why don't you, I've answered a bunch of your questions why don't you just let me in?
Right.
In other words, he could still answer you. You're always going to have questions.
Yeah, that's true. You're always
so you
have
might
questions.
As well just let him in and trust him to answer those questions.
That's true. Absolutely.
You know. And God has answered a lot of my questions. Tremendous amount of questions.
He's answered a lot of mine, too. But God is good like that. I mean, he doesn't...
He answers them when you're ready.
Yeah. And not.
Yeah.
I had some answered I didn't even like the answer, but...
Yeah.
It came
well,
anyway.
That's just it. You know, a lot of times we don't like the answer.
Came anyway.
Yeah, because, you know, this world, it's a fallen world. And this, now, we were talking about the theological question of predestination and
right.
all that. Well... God has given us free moral agency. We can make our own decisions
That's right.
in this world.
That's right.
But on the other hand, it seems like he has to guide the world towards, like he was guiding the world here in Daniel,
right.
guiding them towards the first coming of Christ.
Absolutely.
And talking about Revelation, the mm-hmm. end of this world.
From the beginning, he talked about the end.
Yeah. And so... He gives guidance,
yes.
and he gives guidance to those who want his guidance.
Yes.
And sometimes he gives guidance to the unsaved, those who don't even want any guidance. He's going
right.
to say, like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
he said,
they have warnings. Everybody has warnings.
Yeah, he sends a warning, and he says, if you don't stop this nonsense that you're doing, too much sin, I can't let it spread, so I got to destroy you if you don't repent. And they just laugh in his face, and so he does destroy them.
And there is this sin. That people don't consider by not accepting Christ
well, yeah.
as the Savior. That's the biggest sin. Out of all sins is to call God a liar.
Yeah.
Blasphemy.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
I don't
what they
need
do.
God. I'm not really doing anything bad. Why do I need to surrender myself to someone I can't see?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
that people only talk about. There's only about one book about him, so... You know,
yeah.
people have all kind of reasons why they will
oh,
not.
Oh, infinite reasons. You know.
Well, why should I? I'm not
well,
that bad. I'm a good person.
Like I used to talk to the American Indians when I was hanging around Mike. He was American Indian. And I hung around them and I heard all this stuff about how Jesus is a white man God. And they went on and on and on about that. And I said, first of all, Jesus was himself, he was not a white man. He was a Jewish.
Right.
He was Jewish. He's probably a little bit brown, really.
Right.
You know, and brown eyes. Not like the blue-eyed guys on TV and the movies.
Right.
But, you know, and he was despised just like the Jews are despised.
Right.
You know. So, the missionaries weren't entirely wrong introducing Christ to the American Indians. A few of them have been saved over the years, so that was worthwhile. But it's just like all other societies, there's a few there shall be that enter thereat. It's a small group of people who are willing to accept the truth,
wow.
you know. But they have, the excuses are as long as the day is long.
Right.
You know. Sure.
I was listening. Who was I listening to? Someone on TV, one of those TV evangelists. I've never heard God audibly, she said. And I'm thinking, oh, you haven't?
I have. Let's see. I've even heard God audibly.
Yeah, I've heard him several times audibly. I guess he was saying, I guess I'm just going to have to tell you since you don't get it.
Yeah.
You know. And I need you to get it.
Some of these TV evangelists, man, I'm telling you, they got some serious problems in their theology. And some of them have been preaching for a long time that they say, if you're a Christian, you're a god. And that is totally antichrist, you know, in its teachings.
Well, I don't want to take God's position or assume or appear.
Well, how are we going to take God's position?
No.
Can you fling your hand out and create some stars or what?
No.
You know?
No. No.
I don't think so.
Hey, I'm struggling with my own life, like putting words out there, you know,
yeah.
that's going to lead and guide me, but I want him to lead and guide me.
Yes.
Show me his way.
Do it
know?
The wise way.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable with that other than myself, you know, but I do enjoy the subject that you brought forth about this forerunner of the Antichrist, and letting us know and understand that
there's been lots of
this one. Yeah, there's been lots and maybe many more, but there will be one worse, like you said, than all the others. All the others. And he's going to have a life speaking statue, like you said last time. You don't know if it's going to be a robot or what it's going to be. You know,
it might just be occultic power.
It might be.
You know.
Yeah, because Satan's supposed to give him power, right?
Right.
He's supposed
Satan
to
will give his power to the Antichrist.
To Satan, yes, yes.
So it's a reflection of the Holy Trinity.
Right, right.
At the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the statue.
That's right.
You know.
So it's coming one day.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's coming one day. I don't know if I'm going to be alive to see it, but, you know, hey, it's coming. A lot of Christians wanted it to be in their day, as did Paul.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of people have gone on. And it may still be far in the future.
They're probably better off.
Yeah.
But I also think there'll be a lot of miracles.
Oh, always. There's always miracles.
Godly miracles.
Yes, probably so.
You know, just like I woke up when I had a water problem with my heart. My heart wasn't beating strong enough to get rid of the water. And I had to take water pills, which meant I had to run to the restroom all the time. I woke up one morning, and the water problem was gone.
Praise God. Absolutely.
I used to have a breathing problem because of that. The breathing problems are gone.
Beautiful.
So God is healing me, not all at once, but
little by little.
Little by little, He's healing me.
That's beautiful. That's wonderful. We are out of time.
Yes.
As usual. Beautiful conversation. Much knowledge and wisdom in that. And you have been listening to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. My guest today was Jeff Porter Arthur. Till next
You're
time, be blessed.
To WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place.